there's an insert in the bulletin that everybody will need as we continue this journey on living a spirit-filled life. I become more and more aware, conscious that for us to live as our Lord Jesus Christ lived, and we are to be in that process of being transformed, conformed to the very image and likeness, the character of Jesus, and the church is here to continue the ministry of Jesus on earth. He said we would do what he had done, even greater things, and we can't do that in the flesh. We can only do that in the power of the Holy Spirit. Galatians 2:20, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Philippians 1:21, for me to live is Christ, the living Lord Jesus Christ. We need this vision and image and understanding of the church. It's not just a place we gather for socializing, see our friends, although that's fun, to sing nice songs, although that's fun. But it's a place we gather to continue the ministry of Jesus on earth. People need the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior just as much as they did at Pentecost. People need to grow in their faith and mature and become mature adults in Christ, even more so today probably, because we live in a culture and a world that doesn't promote that. So when I think of living a spirit-filled life, I go right back to Jesus, who's our example. And I read in Luke chapter 4 and 14, verse 14 for you, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and a report about him went out through all the surrounding country. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. My little subtitle says that was the beginning of the ministry of Jesus. He began in the power of the Holy Spirit. He continued in the power of the Holy Spirit. Spirit of God was upon him throughout his life. He is our living example of what it means to live a spirit-filled life, Jesus Christ. Fully human, and yet his deity was veiled in his humanity. And he lived that spirit-filled life in full surrender to his Father's will, being obedient unto death, even death on a cross. John 5:19, Jesus said this, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing on his own accord. That's hard for us to think about sometimes. We're talking about Jesus, and he's saying, I can do nothing on my own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit working in perfect harmony in the Son of God, Jesus, to accomplish our salvation. Now, you know, I listen to the radio once in a while, and I listen to Christian music once in a while. And I heard this song on the radio, and I don't know if you've heard it, but I've heard it several times, and I thought I would sing it for you today. You don't want to hear me sing it, do you? I Refuse, lyrics by Josh Wilson. Now, you know what's interesting for me at this age and stage of life? Here's a young man, and here's a young man that in his lyrics, I'm thinking he gets it. He gets it. And we need to get it. Thankful to Tamara. She put it on her iPod, and we're going to get the... Where's she at? Oh, there she is. And we're going to get to hear it sung properly as we read the lyrics.
Sometimes I just want to close my eyes and act like everyone. World.
I watched the movie Sound of Music this weekend, and after that, all I heard was, you know, doe, a deer, a female deer. I heard that over and over and over until I thought, man, that's a catchy little tune. But, you know, after I listened to this on the radio, I kept wanting to sing, I Don't Want to Live Like I Don't Care. And touched me in a big way. Well, your view of Christ and his church. I was thinking, you know, just practically speaking, and how does this work in terms of our discovering and how we utilize our spiritual gifts in the ministry of the church? You know, years ago, a young lady, just a little short, cute young lady in her 20s, came to me and said, you know, Pastor, I would like to see us start an evangelism explosion ministry where we go out and share the gospel with people who need to hear it. And she had been a part of it before, and I'd been through the training, and so I said, well, let's do it. And so we started, and we had just a few who were interested. And then I had the opportunity to go to the mission field and with E3 Ministry, and we went with a missionary, and we went specifically to help plant a church. So we went specifically to share the gospel of how to put your faith in Jesus and become a follower of Jesus Christ. And to then teach, you know, to bring people together and begin to teach them, to help establish just a humble beginnings of a new church in an area of our world where there is very little evangelical witness of Jesus Christ. And so there were six of us that went. But I remember this one young man, and I thought, boy, it'd really be nice if Ryan could go. And so I saw him walking down the street one day, and I stopped my car, rolled down the window, and I talked to him and said, hey, Ryan, would you pray about going to the Ukraine with us? And so he said, yeah, I'll pray about it. And now the big deal was his wife was pregnant. He had some very important concerns. And so Ryan ended up going with us. And I can still remember, we're there in the Ukraine, and we're in our first days of our 1 week of ministry. You know, how can you make a big splash in 1 week? And Ryan was saying, you know, I've talked to a lot of people, but... And he was somewhat discouraged, because I think he thought it was just going to go over there, you know, and everything was going to explode, you know, and people were going to just come in droves. And then Ryan found someone that was ripe and ready to hear the gospel, and they put their faith in Jesus. And Ryan was all excited and charged up, and we went on the rest of the week. And you know, throughout that week, we were not prepared, but we had over 100 children and youth coming in the evenings to be a part of the ministry. And we weren't quite ready for all that. But God provided, and we divided ourselves, and some took the youth ministry and ministered to those youth that evening, and some took the adults and ministered to those adults, and we had hundreds and hundreds of people come to faith in Jesus Christ. And we all came back floating on a cloud, you know. Wow, God used us in a way that we could not have believed or imagined. That came back to the local church in little old Marion, Ohio. And Ryan was turned on, charged up, and he had found his passion and how God had gifted him with the ministry of evangelism. And he became our little resident evangelist in that local church. It's interesting how God works. The next year there were over 12 that went, and they came back with even greater results. And then the ministry of evangelism in the local church, in our local town, they kept saying, if we can go halfway around the world and we can boldly talk about Jesus, why can't we do that in our own streets, in our own neighborhood, with our own people? And so God just energized, and the Spirit of God started to work. That was one of the most fun ministry experiences I've ever been a part of. And I remember that second year when they were sharing, I was sitting in the congregation bawling like a baby because of what God was doing through his people. Showing them a passion, revealing their gifts, and using them to do even greater things than what Jesus did when he walked this planet. So we need a view of the Church of Jesus Christ, that an enlarged view. And here I want to take you to Ephesians. There, it's got to get beyond the lyrics. Ephesians 4:16, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. You know, I think it was last week or the week before that we got caught up a little bit, but this working properly, each part is working properly. And I find it interesting that Jesus used the human body as an example for what the church is to be like. Now, we've got some medical people I know that are much more medically informed and savvy about the whole language and systems of the human body. I still remember when my daughter took anatomy physiology, one of those flunk-out courses, you know, in college, and you learn all the systems of the body, and you've got to name every whatever. Well, here, I just use a simple definition out of human anatomy. A system is a collection of parts that interact together for a common purpose. But a system is not just any old collection of parts. The parts are related in such a way that each depends on the others to do whatever job there is to be done. No single part can do the job alone, and any malfunction or delay is likely to affect the whole system. Wow, if you apply that to the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, each part working properly. Your heart beats 103,689 times each day. Ooh, wow, that thing's working pretty hard. I hope it keeps working for a while. Your blood travels 168, you know, I thought that was 1,000. It's 168 million miles. Wow. Your digestive system produces 7.8 pounds of waste. That's too much information for me. Your lungs take in 438 cubic feet of air. The least mishap could cause a glitch in the system. But isn't it amazing how many days we live problem-free? This system works. Have you ever been with someone who is dying? You know, I've been there. And this body was created to live. It wasn't created to die. It was created to live. And it is amazing. It is just an amazing how the body continues to fight to live. Apply that to the Church of the Living God, the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's get a different view of what the church is. I sometimes say, stop coming to church and be the church. Because we are the church. We are each an integral part of it. Each part working properly makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. One of my authors, as I was studying, say that when the body is working properly, you're going to see great growth. Not only numerical growth, you're going to see spiritual growth in that body when it's working properly. The view that you have of Christ and his church. Now, there are 1 Peter chapter 4. It says, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks, as one who speaks the oracles of God. Whoever serves, as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. So, he's kind of dividing the gifts into two categories, the speaking gifts and the serving gifts. If you have a gift of ministry for speaking, guess what? Mine might be a speaking gift I have. Speak as if it were the very words of God. Speak as if God were speaking through you, as if you are God's voice to the world. Because you know what? The reality is we are God's voice to the world. If you have a serving gift, then serve as if, you know, you're serving with the power of God, that you are one of those incredibles, that you can do more than you could ever imagine because it is the Spirit of God that is strengthening you, empowering you to do greater things than we could do in the flesh. Now, if you were to do a study of Ephesians, as we quoted Ephesians chapter 4 there, Ephesians is all about the church. We've been studying Ephesians in Sunday school, and in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 20, it says, it's built, the church is built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. So imagine, we've got a foundation on the apostles and prophets. The apostles are those who were there when Jesus was resurrected from the dead. They are the eyewitness account of the reality of a living Lord Jesus Christ. The prophets are those who God spoke His word, the inspired word of God, breathed. God breathed, 1 Timothy 3:16. So the church is built on that kind of foundation. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11, he gives some other offices in the church. He said he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building of the body of Christ. You know, when I think of an evangelist, or when I think of a pastor or shepherd and teacher, I always think of someone, you need to first and foremost make sure that they are truly called of God to do that work of ministry in the church of Jesus Christ. Make sure that your pastor is called of God. Because I learned a long time ago that if you aren't called of God, you're going to get blown out of the water. But if you're called of God, you understand that this is His church, His ministry, His work, and all the struggle that goes on inside the body of Christ is worth it so that some could find Jesus as Lord and Savior and they could grow and mature and become that mature adult in Christ like Ryan and others. Ephesians gives us all these commands to work towards maturity. First three chapters are all about doctrine, the foundation, and then the next chapters, 4, 5, and 6, are all about working out, putting into practice, growing and maturing in your faith. And he says this, walk in a manner worthy of your calling. So I'm going to ask you today to evaluate or take an assessment of your own spiritual maturity. Because when we begin to think about a system working, about a body functioning, about every member working properly, their spiritual maturity is integral, necessary, essential to that proper working of the body. Walk in a manner worthy. No longer walk as the Gentiles do. Walk in love. Walk as children of light, exposing the deeds of darkness. Walk wisely, redeeming the times because the days are evil. And it all comes down to what we've been talking about, the need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, the need to be surrendered, the need to be in full submission to the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. I've been crucified with Christ, said the Apostle Paul. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Philippians 1:21, he said, for me to live is Christ. We are the living body of Christ. It's to be lived out in our marriages. It's to be lived out in our families. It's to be lived out in the workplace. Ephesians calls us to grow up and become mature in Christ. Well, I ask you to have a bulletin with you. And I put together this little profile. You have to forgive my simplicity, but I wanted to keep it somewhat simple so that you would do it. And I do want you, by the way, I do want you, every one of you. It's our assignment as the body of Christ called Middle Creek Christian Church to put a date on it, to put a phone number on it, to put an address, and to put a name. And what ministries have you worked in the past? Do you realize I started as a youth worker? I started working with high school youth way back when I in my 20s. And the first time I ever was asked to teach anything, those high school youth knew more about the Bible than I did. Those guys were raised in homes that had pastors and Christian leaders in the denomination that we were in. And those guys knew the Word of God. And I was intimidated by those high school youth because I knew that they knew more than I. You know what that did? That forced me to get in and study harder and to go deeper. Well, you know, then I was an accountant, if you believe that or not. And so they put me as the financial secretary, the assistant financial secretary. I was doing what John Bronico does. I was helping count the money and record the giving. And, you know, you see all kinds of things in there that maybe I wasn't mature enough in my faith to see, but you saw how people give and how if people don't like this, they designate their money to that. And how one faithful couple, the most faithful, they gave the same amount every week, 52 weeks out of the year. You know, no show, no gloss, they just gave. Systematically and faithfully, one of the greatest givers in the church. You saw all that stuff. And then, you know, somehow, man, isn't that guy big? Isn't he good looking? Doesn't he look like somebody you know? Anyway. Little glitch in the system here. Then, you know, my pastor said to me, have you ever thought about full-time Christian work? And we were walking in the park with his family and his kids. I've told you this probably before. And I literally rolled on the grass laughing because I never heard anything so hilarious in my life, so ridiculous, so far-fetched that I would go into full-time Christian ministry. And so, you know, I give him credit for planting the seed. God used him to plant a seed. It was then the youth pastor that I was doing youth work with that he encouraged me also. And at one point I said, hey, you guys, you know, quit talking to me. Stop talking to me about this stuff because that's financial suicide and there's no way that I could take a family of three preschool children and go off to seminary and there's just no way, but God showed. There is a way when God's in it. So what ministries have you been a part of? Maybe you haven't been a part of. What availability do you have? You know, hey, we're going right into Fusion. No, we're going right into the fair. We already skipped past Fusion. And we need to know, are you available in the a.m. or the p.m.? Are you available weekdays or weekends? Are you available? We need to be available to be used of God, don't we? In whatever manner He would have us to be used. And I ask, what is your maturity? Have you ever, you know, sometimes we don't take this Christian life seriously. We don't think about, you know, we assess and evaluate all other stuff in our life and our world. You know, I'm sure that you have your finances all tacked down. But what about your Christian maturity? You know what I've learned from old people, of which I am one now, is that the most important thing as we get old is faith and family. And faith comes first. Because without faith, you know, where in the world are we going when we leave this place? And we could go any day, any moment, any time. It's coming, but we don't know. So is our faith intact? How mature is that faith? So what's your relationship with the Word of God? What's your relationship with the Lord? What a privilege we have to pray. Are you able, willing and ready to share that with others through a word of witness, through the gospel? What about worship? Do you truly come to worship the one God? I'm not talking about going to church. I'm talking about worship. What about What about your money? Are you a good steward of what God has entrusted to you? You know, there's a pastor, I've told you this, before I ever went to seminary, he told me, you can't outgive God. And you know, here I'm about to cut my income in half. And halfway through seminary, I cut it in half again. And he's telling me, you can't outgive God. And I'm thinking, come on, guy, you know, you don't live in the practical world. You live in the ivory tower of this pastoral ministry, and you don't understand. You know, he did understand, and he did know the truth of God's word and the promises of God to provide and to bless. And you cannot outgive God. Others would say about you, about, you know, the fruit of the Holy Spirit being produced in your life. What would they say about your character? You know, would they do business with you? Would they want to be your friend outside of church? Because there is the love and joy and peace. I mean, it's just a joy to be with you. Are you committed? Are you humbly? You know, the Lord needs humble servants. When we start talking about spiritual gifts, as you would read 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14, the gifts can make us rather arrogant. Because, you know, we could say, hey, look at my gift. Where the gifts are really to humble us. Because it's a gift that God gave you. It's a gift that God gave you to use you in the church in building his body. It's not because of who you are. It's because of who he is and what he's done for us. And you know, our talents can make us a little arrogant too, you know. But God wants to humble us, and the Holy Spirit is a humbling Holy Spirit. Well, are you people-oriented? Are you task-oriented? Where are your passions? Because we talked about this. You're going to minister most effectively where you are passionate with the age group and the issues and concerns and the thing that just sets you on fire. And now we got to look at the gifts. Because I don't know if you've, sometimes I think when we talk about spiritual gifts, we want to go right to the sign gifts, you know. We want to go right to, you know, tongues and miracles, and we want to go right there. Well, those are just a few. Let's look at the whole package here. And you know what I saw when I started looking at again at this week is how much we need, just like we started out in this study, how much we need the help of the Holy Spirit to effectively do the work of Jesus Christ. Look at these gifts. And as you look at them, here, I want you guys opening up your, this is a yellow thing in your bulletin. As we look at them, I want you to ask a couple questions. This describes me. That might be your spiritual gift. Or you might say, this describes, you know, Uncle George. That might be his spiritual gift. And God would use you to help him to clarify and understand his spiritual gifts. So the gift of prophecy, what is it? The primary purpose is telling forth the word of God. One who speaks that others could be strengthened, encouraged, and consoled by the word of God. The gift of service to care for the physical needs of the body. Who's voluntarily cleaning the church around here? Do you think they might have the gift of service? How much do you want to volunteer to clean the church? Maybe about that much. Because, you know, we don't have a waiting list, trust me. But think of those who voluntarily clean the church. Those are some of the most humble servants I know at Middle Creek Christian Church. Do you realize that? Go find out who they are. And I would say they probably have the gift of service. Who's teaching our Bible studies in Sunday school class? We hope they have the gift of teaching. I remember when they, years ago, they put a couple in teaching the high school Sunday school. Boy, that was a disaster because they didn't have the gift. They didn't have the passion. Exhortation, the ability to motivate others to respond to the truth by providing timely words of counsel, encouragement, and consolation. It's kind of like I thought of an E.F. Hutton, you know, when this person speaks, everybody's listening because they know there's a good word coming. There's some wisdom. There's some... It's Elmer Dietrich, by the way. How about the gift of giving? You guys all have the gift of giving. Don't you want the gift of giving? That you would be not only generous, but that you would go over and above and beyond. You wouldn't even worry about, you know, tithes and offerings. You just give as much as. And it's not about how much money you have. It's about the gift that God has given you. We had friends come through from Indiana. Bill has done very well in business, by the way. And I was trying to get him to put me on his, inheritance list. But he didn't get the hint. But you know what he said to me? I'm not leaving all this to my kids. I'm giving at least half of it to the work of the Lord, to missionaries, to take the gospel to the ends of the earth, because people need to hear about Jesus. People need to get saved. He has a passion, he has a heart, and God has given him, his wife even said, he's a good giver. He's got that gift of giving. What about leadership? Notice in leadership, there's delegation. You need to be a delegate. You know, this isn't like, you know, I'm in charge. This is getting a group of people, team leadership. But the gift of mercy, empathizing, encouraging with people in times of need. The gift of wisdom. Who we need wisdom. Not the wisdom of the world, the wisdom of God. We need knowledge and understanding. We need faith. You know, I believe my wife has the gift of faith, because if it weren't for her faith, I wouldn't be here. The gift of healing. Now, you know, we get into some of these sign gifts and you think, somebody has the gift of healing? And you might think of somebody who's going to stand up here and he's going to, you know, or he or she is going to present themselves as a healer. You know, what I've known is healing is more of a ministry of prayer. And there are people that said to me, you know, I believe I have the gift of healing, because when I pray for people, they get healed. And you know what I've said to them? When we're praying for people, I want you in that circle so they'll get healed. We've got someone with the gift of healing, so they've said, in our church. So I've said to them, when we're praying for people to get healed, I want you in that circle praying. In Ohio, there was a lady who had that gift, and I had her in the circle praying all the time. Now, do you start realizing how some of these miracles are really about calling upon the power of God to do what only God can do in a person's life that we could never do in the flesh? We might not even ever be able to do with medical science, but this is what God can do and God alone. It was Pat who was sharing with us a testimony from, I don't know where, but somebody who was, he was in some congress, or he was praying or giving testimony. He had been dead for 40 minutes. I think that's pretty dead. And he came back to life. God raised him back to life. And then they tested his blood before, and the DNA that he had before and the DNA that he had after was a different DNA. That boggles my rational mind. I'm sure that would boggle medical science's rational thinking. But God can do what only God's going to do. And he's still doing it today for the glory of God. The gift of miracles. Let's pray that God would do miracles. The gift of distinguishing spirits. You know, there's a lady in our church who... If I don't get it right biblically, if I don't do it right biblically, she is on my case. And I'm getting an email and it's passionate. And I just appreciate and enjoy this lady, because she is right there helping to make sure that we keep it right according to the Word of God and according to the Spirit of God. I have always appreciated those people. I remember back in Missouri, I got the of incense behind the curtain in the Holy of Holies, and it's in front of the curtain in the Holy of Holies, you know? And you might think, well, big deal. Well, to some of those engineers, it was a big deal. And, yeah, they made sure I got it right. But they also helped me to make sure that my study was accurate, good scholarship. I did my work and homework so that we get it right. Gift of tongues. This is a little bit of a controversial gift. And some of you might fear that we would break out in tongues and worship. And you know, if that happens, we're going to do it according to the Word of God. Two or three, and we're going to have an interpretation of tongues. So we need both gifts, right? We need those gifts working together. Because Paul makes it very clear that what we are about in worship needs to be done in order, and it needs to be done for the edification of everyone here, so that everyone would know and understand and hear the word that God has for us. Now, gift of helps. You know, again, let's go back to, we're on page 6, by the way. Let's go back to the fair. Everybody has the gift of helps. Not everybody has the gift of helps. You're going to find some people more helpful than others. But everybody can help. And that, you know, isn't that true of the gifts? I know that's true for me, is that I don't stop and think, well, do I have that gift? I can't do that ministry. Do I have that gift? I can't go share the gospel. I can't give. I don't have the gift of giving. I can't witness. I don't have the gift of evangelism. I can't help because I don't have the gift of helps. Never have I let the fact that I have or don't have the gifts stop me from engaging in ministry. But trust me, where I am gifted, there is going to be greater work that God will do through me. And there's going to be greater joy that I will find in that ministry. Now, you may not like to hear this, but do you think I have joy in everything I do as a pastor? Sorry. I don't want to burst your bubble, but I'm not all excited about everything that I do. But there are areas that I am passionate about and I get great joy in the Lord in doing. And you don't have to ask me twice because I'm going to be out there doing it. Now, the others, you might have to call me and say, "Where are you, buddy?" Where are you gifted? Where are you passionate? God wants to use all of us. If you're thinking about a system, then every member, every part of that system is as important as the next. So I do want you to fill out your ministry profile. Turn it into the office, put it in the offering plate, do whatever, get it there somehow. And can you imagine if a church were organized in such a manner that we had those people that were gifted in the right place of ministry? We'd begin to do immeasurably more than we could imagine. We'd see God using and blessing. Now, some of you might think, I know here, we're not this young, chipper bunch of people in our congregation. You might think, well, I'm old and ready for retirement, and I got one foot in the grave and the other foot, you know. For me to live as Christ and to die as gain, I'm ready to go when He's ready for me. And I'm going to glory, so have a party. But until I go, I'm going to find a way to serve the Lord, to be a part of helping to build His church. Because I know and I believe that He's gifted me for ministry. I know and believe that He's gifted each and every one of you for ministry. And He wants to use us for His glory. We are, catch this vision, we are the body. Every member is a part of that body. We are a system that is working interdependently together. And unless that system is working effectively and efficiently, there's going to be some glitches. There's going to be some malfunctions. We're going to see less growth, less people coming to faith in Christ, less people growing and maturing in their faith than we would see otherwise. You know, we can't do this. I cannot do this in my flesh. I can only do this. I can only walk this faith that I profess by the power of the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. That means He's not done with any single one of us yet. He's certainly not done with me. That means there needs to be some change on the inside and some change on the outside. I don't want to live like I don't care. I don't want to live like it doesn't matter. You know, when I go to a mall and see a crowd of people, I think, how many of these people don't know Jesus? And then what is their eternal destiny? I don't even want to think about it. But maybe I need to think about it more often. Hell is horrific. Heaven is glorious. Every time I have the privilege of sharing the gospel, helping someone to know for sure that they are bound for heaven. But then we need to grow up. For me to live as Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. I need to be full of the Holy Spirit. I need to be broken before God because my sin grieves and quenches the Spirit of God when I act out in the flesh. I need to surrender and submit to the work and power of the Holy Spirit in my life. Body, soul, and spirit. Mind, emotions, and will. That I would have the mind of Christ. That I would do the will of God. That I would have the peace of God that passes all understanding. Pray with me. Father God, we thank you. Thank you for gifting us, Lord. Thank you for your church. Thank you for the privilege of being a part of your church. Thank you, Lord, for the good work you're doing, the good work you're going to continue to do in our lives and through us. Thank you, Lord, for Middle Creek. We pray, Lord, that as we minister, as we coordinate people for ministry, we would recognize, Lord, that we are doing your work. And it is not all about us, but it's all about you. Help us, Lord, to desire the greater gifts, the gifts that would reach a lost world, and the gifts that would build up your body, that it might be that mature, functioning, properly working body of Jesus Christ, doing more than you could imagine. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Take your hymnals, number 382, if you would. Come, Holy Spirit.